would take your Bibles or your bulletin with me, and we'll we want to just read Psalm 107, and it's verses 1 to 22. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. He let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thanks offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. May God bless the reading of his word.
It is great to have Peter and Cheryl Hambray here today, and they're going to inform us of their ministry in Kazakhstan the past few years, and I don't know if we're going to get much into the future, but it's great to have them here today. So Peter and Cheryl, come on.
Okay, it's very, very good to be here with you. It's been 4 years, maybe. So, but it's nice to see you again, be with you, and just thank you so much for your support over the last few years. It's been especially welcome the last little while, because we had a hard time the last couple of years. So anyway, we'll tell you a little bit about what we've been doing first and then what the future holds. So Cheryl.
Yeah, now, do you remember the name of the country we've been in? Kazakhstan, right? Most people say, what do they say? Kazakhstan, but it's Kazakhstan, the place of the Kazakhs, okay? So here we are in Central Asia. It's, as you can see, it's near Afghanistan and not too far from Pakistan where we first served. So it's a former Soviet republic. And we were in the city of Almaty, which was in the southern part of Kazakhstan, near those nice mountains there. So we're missing the mountains a little bit. Okay, well, we all know what happened. Some of you have also been through the time when the Berlin Wall was built and when it was torn down. And when the Berlin Wall was torn down, the Soviet Union suddenly became open to many things, including open to the Christian message, and I remember praying so much for the persecuted church and rejoicing so much when that wall went down, and suddenly there were many opportunities. Now, when it broke apart, of course, it became opened up, and many missionary groups came in at that point. There were a lot of Hare Krishnas, for example. They came in. A Muslim started to flood in. We have a new mosque being built almost weekly in the city of Almaty with Turkish money and Arabic money. And so the Muslim world, it was a Muslim area before the Soviets came in, and so they're trying to return to their roots. So Islam came in a big way. And of course, there were lots of cults too, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, many groups went in, along with many evangelical groups of all kinds of denominations. So it became quite open. In fact, it was a spiritual vacuum there. And it was an exciting time, really. And there was a huge growth in the church during that period. When it was first opened up, there were only 14 known, or I think it was 8 known Kazakh believers among that people group, 8 people. And then by in 10 years' time, there were more than 14,000. I got 4,000 there, but there's a lot more than that. There's 14,000 Kazakh believers now. So in a 10-year period, a growth from 8 to 14,000. Now that's pretty big. If that happened here, we'd be pretty excited. And that was among a Muslim people group. So that's a great, that's a fantastic thing. We don't see that happen in the Muslim world. And the Kazakhs had the ability to move throughout all the Muslim areas without needing to have a visa. So they could go into Turkey, they could go into Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, even China, without having to have a visa. So it was a great time, a great period of time for the growth of the church, and a great period of time for the Kazakh nation. So, but that has leveled off some since then. And part of that has to do with the fact that it was Soviet from the beginning, and really down at its roots, it still is. The leadership that's in place are still ex-KGB officers that used to be the persecutors of the church. They still have the mentality that religion is a dangerous thing, and it needs to be controlled. So what we're starting to see is more of that. Now, just to give you an example, Peter, when we first went over, he worked with Caltech, which is a Bible training school for training pastors. It did a great job. And the government came in, and I think for about a month, wasn't it, Peter, they examined all the files. They took out the hard drives. And in the end, they closed down the school because they said it needed a license to teach. Well, of course, they applied for a license and couldn't get it. So Caltech was closed down. Peter then moved over to Kex, which was another Bible training school. And he taught there for a while. And then the same thing happened there. The government came in. They said, you need a teaching license. They'd been in application for one for 3 years. And it just kept one thing after another. And they just said, we can't give you a teaching license. So they met all the requirements, but they still didn't get the teaching license. So that closed down. And virtually all of the training institutions in Kazakhstan now, Christian training institutions, are closed down, except for the Orthodox and the Muslim groups. Then we began to have visa problems. It used to be that we could get a one-year visa, and it was difficult to get it, but it was not impossible. They came to us now 2 years ago, right, Peter? And we had a one-year missionary visa, and they said, well, that doesn't count now because we're bringing in new regulations and we're taking that away from you, so you have to get a new visa right now. And they made us leave the country, and then every month, in fact, or sometimes even less than that, we would have to leave the country and reapply for another visa. And we did that for about a year. It was very stressful. I mean, you have to imagine, every time you go, you don't know, will I be able to come back? How do you plan? How do you feel settled at all when this is happening continuously? So it came to the point where visas just became a tremendous problem. Are you seeing a theme here? Then Peter became the pastor of the international church there. The international church, we had quite a variety of people from Africa, Australia, Germany, and also about a third of the congregation was local people. And there was about 150, sometimes 200 on a big occasion. And and it was going very well. And then a new law came down and said that every religious organization has to re-register. In other words, they came in, they came to your church, they said, and you're in Baptist, I know you're registered, but we're taking that registration away, and we're asking you to re-register with more difficult procedures to re-register. So every religious organization in Kazakhstan was forced to re-register and only reopen under much stricter regulations. So the international community couldn't meet the regulations. And so the international church had to close as well. And then the Center of Hope. And you folks have given very generously to the Center of Hope in the work that I've been doing. I've been directing a Christian counseling center there where we've helped alcoholics, their families. We've worked with people with depression. We've worked in the community and within the church to try and help people who are struggling with a variety of life issues. And they came to us also and said, you need to close and re-register with 50 members. Now, of course, it's a counseling organization. We don't really have a membership. And to find 50 people willing, that were locally born in Almaty, registered there, who are willing to give their papers and all of their documents to the KGB, was pretty much impossible. So the Christian Center of Hope was also forced to close down. Now, I say all this, but there was also a good side to this. One of the things that happened, just to say that everything wasn't bleak and terrible, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but one of the things really is an encouragement to me has been Isaiah chapter 6. Now, a lot of us know Isaiah 6, right? It's in the beginning. It talks about how Isaiah saw a vision of God high and lifted up, holy, and the angels were singing, holy, holy, holy. Do you remember that that passage? And then it talks about how Isaiah, fell down and he said, I'm unworthy and I have unworthy lips. And the Lord told him that he could speak for him. But the Lord said, who will go for me and tell the people what I need to tell them? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Great missionary passage, right? Read on in that passage. I challenge you to do that a little bit later. Because what was his assignment? Does anybody know? He said, you are to go to a people who will not listen, whose ears are hardened, whose eyes are blind, and you're to speak to them until the whole land is totally desolate, until everybody's gone from the land and only a stump remains. Because Isaiah spoke and prophesied in a time just before Israel and the Jews were all taken out of their land and carried off to Assyria and Babylon. So he was to give this message. And I think Isaiah's response was normal. He said, how long do you want me to do this? It was a difficult assignment. I think sometimes when we think about missions and we think about churches, we think success is in the growth, the continual growth of something. But in this case, God's success would have been to see everyone taken out because he had in his plan that he was going to do something in that nation. And it wasn't to bring more people in, it was to send them all out in judgment. And I think we've been in a time where there was a great open door of ministry, and now the government is closing down. And all of us as missionaries have been, really, we've had to leave. And our institutions are being closed down. And that's just the times that we've been in. But at the same time, I think the holy stump remained in the land. And just to say, the International Church is still able to function, and the Center of Hope is still able to function because, even though we're closed legally, many churches joined together during this time. This is the really encouraging part. Because they were all under pressure, many of them just joined together so that they could see one another function, so they could see the Lord's work continue. So one organization took the Center of Hope under its wing, so they're able to hold their meetings and do everything there. Another organization took the International Church under its wing, so they're able to carry on the services and various things there now. Now, it's much smaller than it used to be, but it's still going on. This is the International Church now, very small, as you can see. But still, we're able to meet. And also at this, well, maybe Peter, you can say some of the good things that have happened there.
It's been a hard time, so a lot of negative stuff. But yeah, the International Church, it's still, during this time, God still works, right? He still works when things are hard. So just to share a few of the good things that happened. This is baptizing one of the local men in a mountain river. And here is a young man, he's called Denis, and his wife, Janara. And when we started having all our visa problems, a lot of Sundays I couldn't be at the International Church, and we needed someone to speak. And in fact, it became difficult for a foreigner to speak. And so this was a young man in the going to the International Church, a local man, who I'd been meeting with and with another man for together to mentor. And he stood up to the pulpit and started preaching. He did a great job. He's now gone to a seminary in Michigan with the intention to go back and to carry on in the ministry there. So, very encouraging thing. Another man, Farhat. And Farhat was from the International Church. He'd been there since he became a new believer. And we sent him as a missionary to Turkey. And we're supporting him, and that's still going on. So he's still in Turkey, still being supported by the International Church.
Okay, just to say about the Center of Hope, they're still running what's called Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christ-centered recovery program for alcoholics. They're running that not only in our center building, but actually it's spread out to about 6 churches in the area. So they've trained people in the churches to do these programs in their own churches. So actually it's caused us to spread out and grow, just like the persecution in Jerusalem caused the Jerusalem church to spread out into different areas. So this has done the same thing. We've also been running a Christian counseling program to train local believers in that. And I'm privileged to say just about a month ago, I was in Kazakhstan for their graduation. And I was just so excited to see there were 12 of them that graduated from the program. And they've all got great ideas on what to do. And one of the young men stood up and said, we'd like to see this program continue. And we all got together, sat down, they all sat together, and they all decided that they would like to run the program, and they were each going to help and volunteer their time to do this. So this program is actually going to continue. It'll be completely indigenous, which means they will pay for it and find the money for it themselves. There will be no Western money for this. And so that's very exciting that they're going to continue this on. So that was an exciting piece too. It was a lot of fun, this program. We really had a lot of fun in that. But so this was the graduating class that we just graduated. And yeah, so we're really grateful for the time we spent there. We believe that God's doing a work there. It never looks exactly like the way we would like it to. I know I'd still really like to be there. I'm sure Peter would say the same. And it's been a very heartbreaking and difficult thing for us to leave. It's like grieving a lot of losses all at once. It's kind of a hard adjustment to come back here when we weren't really expecting to come back quite so soon. But I'm really thankful for the time that we've had there. I'm really grateful for your prayers. I think this has been one of the toughest times probably in our missionary career. Now, do I say that every time I'm up here? If I do, I really mean it this time. No, each time is difficult in its own ways, but this time was a very difficult time. We came under a lot of personal attack, and that was really difficult to handle. So I really appreciate those. Many have come up and said, we've been praying for you, and all I can say is thank you so much. I mean, I think this rattled me right to the core of my faith, so thank you for standing with me in that. So I guess Peter's going to have something to say now.
Yeah, so we left last summer, and basically it came to about March last year, 2012, and we just decided that it would become difficult. Were we going to just keep struggling there or just accept the fact that our ministry was being more and more restricted and that it was time to leave? It was quite a hard decision, and as we thought about it and prayed about it, we decided, yes, it's time for us to leave. That was hard. There's a kind of grieving because you're leaving a place where you've been ministering, where you're seeing God work, where you know God has called you to it, and now you're leaving. And then there's also the question of, should we be leaving? Is this God's will that we leave? It's a little bit of the issue of this question of of how God leads and what God calls us to. Because Cheryl and I both believe that God called us to Pakistan. That was, I don't know, 25 years ago. And some of you will remember that then when in 98 we came back from Pakistan, or at least during that year, the following year, we decided that, no, Pakistan was closed to us. So then what's that? That's hard. You know, God called us there. Oh, and the answer is, well, God was calling us to leave. But it's more difficult to deal with being called to leave something than to go to it. And the same thing happened here this time. So when we went to Kazakhstan, it's in 2000, again, we went with your support and aware that God had called us there and confident of that. And we saw as we went, we found that God was with us. Indeed, that was true. But then it came to this thing last time, again, last year, of sensing that maybe God was calling us to leave. And that's hard. It's much harder to deal with. But some of you have probably experienced it. And just want to very briefly, before we talk about what we're going to be doing, just point out to you Abraham, the call of Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. You know, Abraham lived a long, long time ago, thousands of years ago, you know, and he was a farmer. He was a very different from us. He was a rich farmer, but even so, so different that you probably find it hard to really identify with him. He founded nations, you know, he fought wars. What kind of guy? But he had a call from God, and when you look at this call of God, I think we can identify with what's going on there. Let me just read Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I'll show you. It's an interesting call, eh? It's a call to leave, right? A call to leave your country, call to leave your people, leave your father's household. And God calls us to leave just as God calls us to go to places. God calls us to leave. But it takes faith to leave because, and this call of Abraham is used, right? It's quoted in the New Testament in Hebrews as an example of a great man of faith because Abraham left, not knowing where he was going. He left. He just set out. He packed all his things up, left his old father behind, and set out. And it wasn't for a long time until he got to Canaan that God finally said to him, okay, this is the land that I'm giving to you. The faith that was involved there. And God calls us to leave things. And just this is one of the things that's been impressed upon me and Cheryl as we've thought about what we've been going through. And sometimes it's because he has a new ministry for us, but he doesn't tell us right away what that is. Sometimes it's because, for different reasons, it might be because the situation we're in is preventing us listening to the voice of God. We're too involved in what we're involved in, just life, where we are, the commitments we have. And we're not listening to God saying, I want you to do this. And so God has to get us away from where we are before we can see the new ministry that he has for us. Sometimes it's because the sin that we're involved in, and we have to leave the sin in order to move on. If someone has a drinking problem, an alcoholic, he's not going to be able to overcome that if he insists on staying with his old drinking buddies. He has to leave them. He might have to leave the place so he can have a fresh start if he's serious. Someone involved in sexual sins, again, you can't just stay where you are and change. You have to leave. Leave relationships. So leaving is harder, but it's often something that God uses on a step to something new. And God has, when we came back from Kazakhstan, we didn't know what we'd be doing next. We had no idea. That was one of the things that made it hard, you know, as well as the grieving. When we came back and we met with the Fellowship International staff, it's our first meeting with them, we said, well, what do you think we should do? And the main thing, the only thing they suggested was working with leaders for. I'll explain that in a minute. But when I first heard about it, thought, well, okay, it's interesting, but I'm not sure. I prayed about it a little bit, but didn't get very far. But as I thought about it and found out more about it, I decided that, yeah, this is where God is leading me. It's a situation that fits my abilities in administration and teaching. It's an exciting ministry, and it's some extra help. So to explain a little bit what Leaders For is. Leaders For is started by Huron Park Baptist Church in Woodstock about 10 years ago, no more than 10 anyway. And what happened was that one of their members, Hani Muhtar, was down in Guatemala, and there was a church there without a pastor. And they'd asked a man to be the pastor who didn't have any training. And so Hani said, well, maybe we can help you. And the reason he said that, because in their church, they were using a church-based leadership training program to train some of their lay people ready for ministry. And so actually, the pastor went down there for a meeting and to see the situation. When he got there, there were representatives from the church association down there, because he thought, well, maybe they can help the whole association. The end result was that they started a class with, I think, 50 people in it, pastors. Those pastors started on their training. They then started training others. Those in turn started training others, so that now there are about 500 people who've been through or in the process of being trained. So very effective ministry, exciting. Huron Park Baptist Church had a hard time financing all this, so they got help from one or two other churches to do it. And that's how it's gone on. So now there's a ministry like this going on at 7 different places on 2 continents, in South America and in Africa. And there are about 10 more possible places where they'd like us to come and do something similar. The way it works then is churches, Canadian churches, are matched up with a place where they can help this church-based leadership training get going and get initiated. And for 5 years to work on it, so that then it's in place, the training program is in place, and it's a situation that can take place where there's no seminary, where there's no effective seminary. Down in where the first project took place, there was a seminary there that had been left by the mission that started it, but when they withdrew, the church association couldn't afford, they didn't have the manpower or the finances to keep it going. So this program just worked perfectly for them. So that's what I'm going to be working with, helping them, helping match up churches with situations going and helping training program get started. So we'll see. So that's where we're at. That's me. Cheryl, why don't you come and say what you're going to be doing?
Well, I'll probably be involved with Peter to a degree in going down and working mostly with the women there. But also, because I'm a trained counselor, I'll be probably working here in Sarnia, trying to help service the churches with difficult situations. So that's probably part of what I'll be doing. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we can just pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the way you're always with us in good times as well as hard times. I want to thank you for the way that you've been with me and Cheryl as we've gone through this transition. Lord, I pray for anyone here whom God is calling, whom you are calling to leave a situation because it's not where you want them, either because you have something for them somewhere else, because they're in a situation holding them back from really growing and knowing you, because it's a situation of sin, that's keeping them from their relationship with you. Lord, I pray so that you'll make each of us someone better able to influence this world for Jesus Christ. Father, as you came to be known as the God of Abraham, we pray that in the same way we'll be able to influence people to see who you really are. Cut ourselves off from things holding us back so that we can just be a wonderful witness for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.